Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for another podcast. My name is Patty. The shop is Herbs to Your Health. Our phone number is 724-836-7440. Our website is www.herbstoyourhealth.net. You can send me an email. I get many emails from the website. All messages are answered within 24 hours, so please do that. Do you remember the first time you used an herbal remedy? For me, if memory serves, it was back in 1972 when I had a cold coming on. A friend told me about echinacea, so I went to this weird little health food store to buy this awful tasting liquid in a tiny bottle. It was strange, but it worked. And I said, there must be something to this. So for not many years, but just a few, I thought all herbs were exactly like this. If you have a cold, take echinacea. If you have a tummy ache, peppermint. Having trouble sleeping, valerian. Sometimes the herbs work this way, but often use this herb for that symptom, that mindset just kind of didn't work. We grew up in a world of allopathic medicine. I think we all have, and we're inundated with it now in 2023. So naturally, people want to apply this type of thinking to herbs. Allopathic herbalism is kind of a trap. Because if you don't attend to nutrition, lifestyle, psychology, and matters of the spirit, it's like a plant without roots. People find me on searches, and then they make appointments, and they want me to act like an allopathic herbalist. I am not willing to do that. So I say schedule an appointment if you want a holistic, which means whole body type of scan and health information for your whole body. Recently, somebody came in and said, I just want to get rid of my hot flashes. Well, that involves your whole body. It's, and P.S., her uterus and ovaries had already been taken out, so why is she having hot flashes? Exactly. Very, very difficult to convince people. Here's another thing that is difficult to convince people of, that breathing and stretching for the body are two super important activities. Posture. One person said to me that someone took a picture of them and it was slouched and they never slouched again. For me, it's a reflection in a window as I'm walking down the sidewalk. It is a very quick straightener for me. Although when you are very conscious of your posture, you kind of walk straight all the time. Unless you kind of can't because you have some pain. Well, we do the best we can. Every day we make hundreds of choices about how to move our bodies. Walk or drive, park close, park far away, sit or stand, slouch or sit up tall. The forces in motion that affect living matter also affect our human bodies. The way our bodies feel every day and the movements we'll be able to make as we age relate directly to how we've been moving and how our body lines up with gravity as we move. We're impacted also, of course, by the quality of food. Are we eating a plant-based organic diet? Are we sleeping enough and resting enough? But the mechanical environment, how often our body is feeling and dealing with loads created by its own weight, is constant. Ultimately, we have much more control than we realize over how to move, how it feels when moving, and therefore how we feel every day. So you just really kind of don't have to be a biomechanist to have noticed serious posture problems in today's culture. You know why? Everybody's looking down at their phones. Not only looking down with the eyes, but with the head. Not only with a little nod of the head, but with a big forward curve in the neck and upper back. Looking down for certain activities is nothing new, like reading, sewing, cooking. These are age-old activities humans have had to look down to do. There's nothing wrong with looking down. It's an important movement, and it's part of why our spine is made up of separate hinges instead of one long, straight bone, right? Those spinal hinges called vertebrae curve into shape, well, whatever shape you want them to go in, quite easily. What is new and poses a problem is the amount of time people spend with their heads dropped forward, and then how all of us kind of do little other movement of the head, upper back, and even upper body. So you can start by, if you're sitting right now, start by touching the top of your head without lifting your chin or your chest. Reach the top of your head up toward the ceiling while sliding your ears back over your shoulders. And it undoes the forward thrust by picking your head up and away from the ground. I read an article one time about, I forget what kind of walking it was called, but it was just all about posture. And once you learn that, I guess I didn't practice it enough, but it's kind of hard to walk slouched. You can do, so if your hand hurts, I've had people tell me about how their hands hurt or their thumbs hurt from scrolling on your phone. So you can stretch your thumbs, stretch your wrists, stretch your shoulders and upper back. Stretch, stretch, stretch. Tech neck, you know, it becomes a problem as you get older because then you get the sagging under your chin. So that's partly from having your head bent down, but it also hurts your neck. It can also negatively impact swallowing. The esophagus or food pipe is the muscular tube that runs from your mouth to your stomach. Swallowing often becomes more difficult with age, or so I hear. There are some reasons for this, a few, but one relates to the curves in the spine, which tend to change over time. Imagine taking a mouthful of water, then tilting your head way back and trying to swallow in that position. Kind of pinches the throat tube, which makes moving that mouthful down the throat harder and often uncomfortable. Solid food then becomes even harder to swallow in tight spaces. So I don't know if you've ever heard this recommendation to tip your head forward and look down when swallowing. The idea is that if your upper spine and throat are curved forward, dropping your head forward to line up with the throat reopens the swallowing space, which reduces one of the mechanical hurdles to swallowing. And yet another hurdle remains: the neck isn't aligned with gravity. Instead of the food dropping straight down, it has to move diagonally. So temporarily dropping your head, I know I do that to swallow a handful of supplements, it's okay to do that, but then we have, we have to then realign the head and neck to keep the esophagus open. That first thing I told you about touching the top of your head, not lifting the chin, is really important. So just a couple of handy dandy notes for you to remember: that our bodies are different day to day. Deepak Chopra said, you never step into the same stream twice. Our bodies are dynamic, biodynamic. They're constantly changing. So the point is to learn to adapt physically to different scenarios, as opposed to tolerating only a narrow range of physical experiences. And when all else fails, the rice bag on your back or neck or shoulders is really helpful. Nerve control, I don't think there a day goes by that I don't take nerve control. Super helpful. You might need to take some extra skeletal strength. That is also super helpful. Skeletal strength feeds the bones, joints, tendons, ligaments, connective tissue, muscles, and skin. A fairly long time customer is unwilling to change habits. So I don't quite get that. You know, you get into habituated behavior. This is a person who has a Peloton and exercises and walks and runs and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but unwilling to change other types of habits. Our lives are largely run by habit, ways of thinking and behaving that have been repeated so often they become automatic. So if you have good habits in one area of your life and bad habits in another area of your life, consider the dropping one teeny tiny bad habit, replacing it with a good habit until, you know, kind of all the bad habits are dropped and all the good habits have come in, and then it still takes a while. It because lifestyle and the way you think about your health and the way you think about your life, thoughts can be detrimental to all of us, or they can be very, very helpful. So if you're continually thinking about the bad stuff in your life, that is not a good way to help the body. It's not a good way to help anything. So you can quickly consider it and then go to the solution and think about the solution. Maybe you don't have the solution right at your fingertips, but you can imagine you have the solution. Habits can work for us or against us. So if we think about consciously creating positive habits, putting effort into something that's good for you, people want better health, but they don't want to change their lifestyle. I've been living this way for decades. How did this happen to me? Hear that a lot. So there's lots of simple things we can do to improve your health when you consciously shift your attention. It takes 3 to 4 weeks, I'm going to say, to develop habituated behavior. As you feel better, you would think it becomes a greater incentive to continue. But sometimes when people feel better, they stop. I do not understand that. Success is consistent small things, many small changes. So the first of all is a new mindset. Health starts in the mind. You can't be healthy if you're thinking constantly, how did this happen to me? How did I get sick or how, whatever. Or I know many people who are getting a payoff from being sick. Meaning it's either a psychological or emotional or financial, monetary payment for being sick. Or if people truly believe they're incurable, or if you say things over and over to yourself like, I don't feel well, I'm getting old, I'm always tired, I don't have enough energy, I'm not as healthy as I used to be. Thoughts like that prevent you from becoming well. So we know this. It's just a reminder. Replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts, such as, I'm a healthy person. My body is strong and healthy. I take good care of myself. Or my favorite one, every day and in every way, I'm becoming better and better. Some kind of physical activity, Regular physical activity improves circulation, your mood, your immune system, and magnesium heals muscle tears. Another habit is adequate sleep, which strengthens the immune system, reduces stress, improves your mood. A dark room is conducive to sleep, and magnesium again helps sleep. I remember a person who, I think she's too ill to come to the shop anymore, but she used to say, I take 2 magnesium in the kitchen and I'm like almost asleep by the time I walk to my bed. So she's the only person I've ever heard of that it acts that quickly, but it does act. Magnesium is a good thing for everybody to take. When I ask people, do you take magnesium? Oh, I have it. Well, that's not taking it. Another good habit is to drink more water. First thing in the morning, drink a glass of water. I do that with silver in it. So, you know, the silver's getting in there in the body first thing in the morning. Healthy habit, another healthy habit is to eat fruits and vegetables every day. And if you don't do that, so the farmers markets are kind of winding down. So just think about Nature's Harvest, 55 whole foods, green foods, superfoods, fruits, vegetables. If you don't take time for your wellness, you'll be forced to take time for your illness. When life begins, it begins to end. The healing response occurs as a natural response to aging phenomenon, beginning at the onset of life and lasting until life ends. Both the aging and healing phenomena are energy events. Injured tissues heal spontaneously. Damaged molecules, cells, and tissues are programmed to generate their own healing cues. External factors may facilitate or impede the healing response, but they cannot set the wheels of healing in motion. Why? Because they've already been set in motion by our Creator who created the bodies. Injured tissues heal with nutrients, not with drugs. Vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids, and amino acids perform myriad metabolic functions in the body. How did it come to pass that all these nutrients were assigned metabolic roles to prevent only a few nutritional diseases, deficiency diseases? It's a simple but revealing question. Physicians are among the most highly educated, hardworking, and diligent individuals in any society. They see human suffering in ways no other profession does. Their whole lives are dedicated to alleviate suffering. When it comes to reversing chronic disorders, they have become impervious to the most elementary of ideas that injured tissues heal with nutrients, and nutrients must be considered the most logical and natural therapy. Why has the use of nutrients in clinical medicine been neglected to date? Well, you know, there have been a lot of studies showing the health benefits of nutrients, but the results have been excluded from clinical medicine. Why have the healing potentials of vitamins, minerals, and essential amino and fatty acids been so maligned in the United States? Why have nutritionist physicians been so harassed by the disease doctors of drug medicine? Well, maybe that has to do with the establishment of recommended daily allowances, which are minute amounts of vitamins and minerals that the nutrition board, whoever they are, assumes are necessary to prevent a few deficiency diseases like scurvy by vitamin C, beriberi by thiamine, pellagra by niacin, rickets by vitamin D, and I can't think of any other ones, but I'm sure there are other ones. The irreversibility of chronic disease and the underlying premise of drug medicine in the United States leads to the erroneous belief that chronic disease can only be managed by suppressing its symptoms with drugs. This assumption is, I don't know if it's formally taught in medical schools or not, but it grows quickly in the minds of young physicians as they recognize that drugs and scalpels are the only tools of their trade, and that only quacks talk about the regenerative capacity of the body and non-drug therapies to facilitate that process. We know we're not all quacks. Okay, this was another person who had a high A1C, didn't want to go the pharmaceutical route, came in, wanted to tweak the program, and wondered if it might be a reaction to toxins. I said maybe and probably. So just some ways to control blood sugar. You know, if you watch any television at all, you've heard the lady singing the, you know, Broadway musical song about controlling the A1C. I can't sing, but she has a lovely voice. She's a lovely person. And this is how she's, you know, she's an actress, I'm sure, whatever. But people get that stuck in their heads. And then they go and ask the doctor, and, you know, just a great way the pharmaceutical industry is mind controls people, in my opinion. Vitamin D is vital for many crucial functions in the body, from building strong bones and muscles to helping the immune system fight off infections. It regulates glucose. In fact, vitamin D deficiency has been linked to insulin resistance. There was a 2019 study reported that vitamin D deficiency was found in 70% of type 2 diabetic patients. Hey, easy fix. Plus, individuals with severe vitamin D deficiency were 39 times more likely to have a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. Vitamin D deficiency and type 2 diabetes are escalating health problems worldwide. Yes, we know that. Quite an easy fix. Now, here's something else I run into a lot with people. They take it, but they don't take it consistently or enough. So, like the person with magnesium, well, I take it maybe once or twice a week. I take one. That's not enough. Anyway, magnesium is another nutrient that plays a key role in glucose metabolism. Magnesium is required by the pancreas for insulin production. An estimated 61% of the United States population is deficient in magnesium, and so we can find magnesium in capsules, of course, but also leafy green vegetables and avocados and whole grains and beans and nuts. Brisk walking is another thing to do. Berberine is a naturally occurring compound found in a variety of plants, including golden seal, Oregon grape, philodendron, barberry, not bayberry, but barberry, and curcumin, turmeric. As a supplement, berberine has an impressive resume, particularly in helping regulate blood sugar and triglyceride levels. The benefits are not surprising to Chinese herbalists, where berberine has been used to treat diabetes for, like, I don't know, 1,000 to 2,000 years. It's just a lot of years. Berberine's protective effect for diabetes works by increasing insulin expression and antioxidant activity that helps healthy beta cells regenerate, among other beneficial effects. Berberine has extra beneficial effects on the cardiovascular system and arrhythmias and nitric oxide inducing properties. Probiotics, super important. It's kind of less understood. People say, well, how is probiotics going to help my diabetes? Well, I don't know. I think you just need a healthy gut in general, but it helps protect against diabetes and related complications. There was a recent study that found that supplementation with a high quality probiotic was associated with significant improvement in blood sugar and insulin levels. And then we have curcumin, you know, our all-star herb supplement, the active ingredient in turmeric. It's one of the most well-researched plant polyphenols. It has powerful antioxidant properties that contribute to its healing power. I say everybody needs to take it. And if you are concerned about having too many chemicals in the body, so many things we can do about that. I think we all have too many chemicals in our bodies. We can't avoid them. The toxins can be persistent organic pollutants, pesticides like DDT, and polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, and dioxins. And they're in virtually all categories of foods, including baked goods, you know, the ones you buy in the grocery store, fruit, vegetables, meat, poultry, and dairy products, unless you really try to avoid them. DDT, as it turns out, has been banned in the United States since 1972, but it's a forever chemical. We're never going to get rid of it. Even low levels of these pollutants are linked to serious health risks like cancer, learning disorders, impaired immune function, low sperm counts, endometriosis, fertility problems, and diabetes. So chelation comes to mind, mega-chel, oral chelator. Chelate comes from a Greek word that means claw, so these cleansing molecules grab like a claw onto toxins like persistent organic pollutants, and they drag them out of your system safely. The 1-2 punch is megacal and, well, minerals, ionic minerals. And superalgae, because spirulina is a powerful blood detoxifier. Blue-green algae is made up of unique amino acids. They create a type of cage around deadly toxins and carry them out of the body. And chlorella is another form of dried algae. It connects to toxins in the gut and prevents them from being absorbed. So that, and vitamin C, the ultimate antitoxin. The CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, recently reported that fully 1/3 of the American population is diabetic, and diabetes affects, I don't know how many million Americans, double or triple digits, I don't know. There was recently a study showing that vitamin C can lower elevated blood glucose in type 2 diabetes, helping to control dangerous after meal surges and spikes. So vitamin C is a potent natural antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and immune system booster. A lot of doctors use vitamin C. Well, Dr. Frederick Klenner was in the 40s. Linus Pauling, no longer alive. Thomas Levy is one. He is still, I don't know, he speaks, I don't know if he's still practicing, but he talks about the ability of vitamin C to treat and even reverse a host of serious conditions, And then there's another doctor, professor of medicine in, at the of Eastern Virginia Medical School, administers vitamin C to patients suffering from sepsis and saves their lives. So let's please all add vitamin C. I think many people take vitamin C, but you can experiment. Use your body as your science experiment. Experiment with taking more. Vitamin C lowers the risk of developing cardiovascular disease. So the person who was just recently diagnosed with some kind of, you know, heart disease label, person's in their 50s. I said, well, you know, you could take more vitamin C. Well, I take like one, like three times a week. Well, what do you think that's doing for you? Okay, it's keeping away scurvy, perhaps. The recommended daily allowance of vitamin C is like 75 to 90 milligrams a day. That's just truly enough to prevent scurvy. So vitamin C can provide major dividends to the heart, helping while helping to regulate blood sugar levels. So it's really truly a win-win situation. Just take your supplements. Resveratrol and grapeseed extract are really good for all of those so-called diseases of aging: heart disease, diabetes, cancer, Alzheimer's. And grape compounds like grapevine cross the blood-brain barrier to also improve brain health. And so, yeah, that too. I think the number is more like 60 million Americans have diabetes. So, and then there's a certain percentage of people. We do have one customer. She's, I think, in her 40s or 50s. She has two children. She's type 1 diabetic since she's 7 years old. And I have always thought that type 1 diabetes was caused by parasites, or maybe it's an autoimmune reaction, I don't know. So the 18th century herbalist Samuel Thompson said, remove the cause and the effect will cease. So many cases of diabetes will improve greatly, if not completely, when a, you know, plant-based diet. And they, the recently diagnosed people, I've heard this many times, go to the quote-unquote patient educator and they tell them to eat as much meat as possible. So that's kind of like following the Atkins diet, which I guess might work, but is not, definitely not gonna help long term. So plant-based. And then you add to that a knowledge of the many herbs and nutrients that can be used to increase cellular sensitivity to insulin. So the odds of your being cured are greatly enhanced. Golden seal, one of the berberine-containing herbs, has been called natural insulin by some herbalists. I think golden seal is something good to take every day as well. Zinc, chromium. Okay, so when we're talking about those two, well, I forgot about cinnamon balance. Cinnamon balance has nopal and fenugreek and astragalus and burdock and dandelion. Cinnamon balance is a wonderful herb combination. And then sugar rig. Even if you're only insulin resistant, your cells are malnourished. So let's say the best way to treat a disease is to not get it in the first place, but sugar rig. We can all take it. It has chromium and vanadium, cinnamon, fenugreek, bitter melon, kind of repeats from cinnamon balance, gymnema, nopal, and banaba. And I see by the clock on the wall that my time is up. So my self-imposed 30-minute time frame is up. Thank you very much for listening. Please email me any questions you have or suggestions for topics for future podcasts. Thank you. Bye.